Well, Christ is our everything, and in him we are complete. He is our all in all. And boy, he does radically change things, as we find in Colossians 3 and verse 11. But let's sing some first. Let's sing about how that he's our all in all. He's my hope. My hope is built on nothing less. And that is 582. Does it really teach that when we go through rough and stormy gale, that it is an anchor that holds within the veil? Is there his blood support me in the whelming flood? When all around my soul gives way, he then is my all, my all, my hope and stay. Well, yes. Let's go to another hymn, like 437. Christ of all my hopes, the ground, 437. If he's my all in all, then he's all my joy and my powers. And it says here, he keeps me when I am afraid. Oh, yes. Well, we haven't sung 427 for quite a while, but it talks about the all in all Christ Jesus, lover of my soul, 427. If Christ is our all in all, thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen and cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. Our Father, we ask that you might help us tonight to not just know a passage and intellectually, but may it go deeper than that. May we see how wonderful our Lord Jesus is. And our Father, we are cognizant and we know that you're concerned about our loved ones. We do ask for Brother Rick, as he's not well. We pray for him, helping also Nathaniel. And then, our Father, we're grateful for watching over us since we met the last time. And as we have the occasion for Hannah Joy's birthday today, bless her, Lord. Bless her time together. In the name of Christ, amen. I'll sing you another hymn, last hymn, Brother, a little later, if you'll please. Well, in this passage before us, there's a principle there that I just felt we ought to take a look at before I go on further. In that third chapter of Colossians, we're in verse 11. It talks about this principle, something about the barriers are torn down if they're in Christ. Like who? Well, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. It sounds like in Christ, now we're talking about Christians. I can't use this like I read this morning about that our new president elect. He's got to be the president of all the people. Well, this is talking about Christians. It says, you know, there is this business of age-long going on between the Greeks and the Gentiles. There was a business of circumcision and the uncircumcision, the barbarians and the Scythians, and those who are slaves and those who are free. There's a beautiful principle here. Sometimes Christians get the idea of put on the air of snobbery. Hey, I am somebody. I'm one of God's elect, don't you know that? And I'm not a druggie, I'm not an aggie, or addiction. I am a somebody. And I don't pal around with that crowd either. Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying here, listen up here, you, if you think you're a somebody. Do you know what Christ has done? He made a new man. We are a new man in Christ. That includes all the Christians. And as a new man in Christ, we've studied verse 10. We have this new man. And it's renewed in our knowledge if we do any reading and studying. And we become after the image of our Lord that is more Christ-like. Now then, if that were more Christ-like, then where do you get the idea of bigotry, especially this being among Christians? I remember the other week talking to Ishmael, and as we were talking together, and I said, you know, Ishmael, I'm blind. I'm colorblind. He said, you are. I said, yes, sir. Those who are in Christ, I don't see any difference in color or creed. Our culture, if you're in Christ. He said, amen, that's good. How about you? When you meet a Christian who is not of your stripe, a Chinese, maybe. Say, I don't Japanese, I don't care for those people. Well, wait a minute, if he's in Christ, it's marvelous, marvelous. He is, if we're in Christ, he's our all in all. And somehow or other, we got to get the idea we're out to reach people. I don't talk to certain people. Why don't you talk? Well, I'm not of their culture. I'm not of their class. But you let me talk to this kind of people and I feel at liberty. That may be so and it'd be good. But it's all people that we want to reach for Christ. And he has his wonderful way of new creation. And I tell you, you may be a bump in the log, but if you say something about the Lord Jesus, he just may be pleased to take that word you said. Hopefully it's about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't understand sometimes. I really don't, and I've been guilty of this. We'll look at a subject like baptism. We'll talk about why you need to be immersed, and we're going all on. But you know what? If you don't bring out the real meaning of baptism, it's been a waste of time almost. Argue. Christ is all in all. You know, he's in the Old Testament. You say, well, so what? Well, when we read the Old Testament, we need to understand that there's a beautiful aspect in the Old Testament sacrifices. They had to kill the lambs. They killed the ox and so forth, the goats. What are they, all that bloody stuff, what's that all mean? It's a bloody religion. No, it's pointing to the sacrifice of Christ. Well, I didn't get that. No, you don't get verse 11 if you don't see he's all in all. I must admit to you that the man who was down the other Wednesday night at West Milton, I lost his first name now, from Missouri. What's his first name? King? What's his name?
Gary.
No, not Gary Scott. I know him. The other fella. I thought he did an excellent job in the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus and need for separation. And some people, they say, well, I only have the New Testament, the Old Testament, I don't. Oh, that's all in all. Christ is in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, friends. You to talk about the Old Testament, I want to say this, the matter of all those ceremonies. Those ceremonies, they were speaking about the elements of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus. All those, speaking of the Lord Jesus, you got to see Christ in things. Just go to it mentally and say, yeah, I studied that like I studied my math, you know, in school. I can see that. I understand that. Do you see Christ in that? Well, I don't know what you mean by that. That's why you got to read, reread, and study, and study. Christ is in everything. He's our all in all. Oh, but I know. It takes time. You know, I can go down to the bar and do some things, not even think about it. Some people have a job like that. They don't have to do anything about it hardly at all. Just go and do it. But some things that involves brain work, that's a different story. You don't know everything. Well, I think that we've lost. Not seeing verse 11, the last part especially, we've lost. I think we have. Those prophets, when they prophesied, they were prophesying about Christ. And if we could just see that. And David is simply a type of the Lord Jesus. And then we get the New Testament Gospels. Well, what about them? Christ is all in all in them. How do you figure that? It tells us how Christ lived among men when he was here. Oh, then we get to the New Testament, all these letters of Paul that we're spending so much time. What are they about Christ? They exalt Christ and they exhibit Christ thoroughly, these epistles. I'll tell you, friends, if you say, well, I don't get much out of the reading of the Scriptures, well, I guess I'd have to say to you then, you got to get to first base somehow. You better learn while you're still here. But it says there we're one new man, and Christianity is all of us talking about Christians. I was talking to my one eye doctor, and her family came from India. She's a nice person. Her father still teaches in the University of Pittsburgh, where Alan went to school. He's teaching English. And we were talking a little bit, and she let me know. She said, well, when we were in India, I was of the educated class. I said, do you mean caste? Yes. Do you know what a caste system is? I'm a somebody. This is a lower one. And this is little stuff. That's India. A lot of it. You say it's outlawed. They still have it. She proved it to me. Yes. I thought you were going to tell me about University of Pittsburgh, Johnstown. Anyway, we have some of that. Some of that attitude. The Bible says, listen, if we're in Christ, we're all equal. And it's not a matter of saying, well, I'm a Greek, I'm a Gentile, I'm not a Jew. And I'm not a barbarian, I'm educated. And I'm not a slave, I'm free. You know, this matter of Jews and Gentiles, I don't know if you know how how strong that was. That was a very strong thing. You know, it used to be that Catholics were not allowed to go into Protestant churches. Well, I know it's changed some, but they said don't go. I think it's a good principle for you not to be running to the Mormon church and running around to different churches, the cults. But the Greeks and the Jews, they really had a thing going, especially the Jews. They just figured you folk were dogs. That's what the word Gentile means. Gom, you're a dogs. You know, he's a dog. And they wouldn't even go into the Gentiles' houses. And I'm sorry. We don't do that. And they wouldn't eat from Gentiles' utensils. One of the reasons they thought that the Jews didn't go into Gentile houses, they thought that they practiced abortion and put the aborted babies in the toilets. But something sounds almost like we're hearing today, isn't it, about abortion. Some comparison, I believe. But when they go into a Gentile area, the Jews, see, these are religious people, Bible people, so to speak. When they go into Gentile area, when they get out of the district, then they shake the dust off of them. And what did they do with the Gentiles? The Lord Jesus, verse 11 says, you know, no longer. It's not the Greek nor Jew in Christ. That's all been put away with. By the way, it was interesting in history that because this equality and putting away snobbery and bigotry and racial differences by the Christians who did it genuinely and they had fellowship with one another, and many of the synagogues became meetings for Christians. They shut them down and became meetings for Christians. I don't know. I know that some churches, they have a service for the Chinese. I think Jarvis Street does that, have a Chinese service for the Chinese. Well, okay, you can preach in Chinese. That's one thing. But to have a separated church, this is for the Romanian church, this is a Chinese church, this is a Japanese church. If you're not careful, it's a violation of verse 11. Because we're just people. We're the new man in Christ, and Christ is our all in all, and we're to be brothers. We're all brothers in Christ. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking about the world. And this the matter of culture here, you see that, especially that the matter of the barbarians and Scythians, they are both barbarians. But the barbarians, they're different from the Scythians. The Scythians, they were the worst. And there was separation among the barbarians and culturally. The Scythians, they were blood drinkers and skull crackers and all those kind of ugly things. And so in some churches, this is the area for the Scythians. What? They didn't do that. That's not what that verse says. Well, some people get that idea. And here's an area in the church where the scene, and that's for the barbarians. And over here is, this is for the slaves, and this is for the masters, and separation. They had it in 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian church. And the Bible says, oh, no. You got it wrong. I often wonder this, that if a black family were to come in this area and they love the Lord Jesus and they'd start coming to church, I wonder if somebody'd say, yeah, well, you know, we got a black church, Ebenezer Baptist uptown. Maybe they ought to go up there, you know, maybe they ought to. Ebenezer. But we're not black folk. No. There's not anybody here that have a thought like that. That's what you think. But you see, this business here of the bond and the free, it was an interesting situation in Colossae. The book of Philemon, you know, if one chapter, if you ever say, I can't read much. Well, one chapter, Philemon. You know the story there. Onesimus, a slave, runaway slave, you know about him. And he met Paul in prison. And he got converted. And he thought maybe he ought to do right and go back to his old master, Philemon. Philemon was a born-again master. And Paul wrote him a letter and said, You know Onesimus? He said, yeah, you know, I know Onesimus. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Lord saved him. He's now your brother. That's something. In the old days, it was true, even down south, that when slaves got converted, God gave some of them a gift of teaching. God gives gifts. And so they'd come to church, and it wasn't uncommon for the black slave to teach the white masters. Yeah. Can you imagine that? They had master-slave, you know, master and slaves. But the slaves, when they got, and the master saved them, slaves got saved, it was not uncommon that they'd come to church and the slave would get up and teach the master the scriptures. That's what verse 11 is really saying here, friends. It's really what it's saying here. He lives in all of us, if we're Christians. And in light of that, no more do you say, well, I'm a Gentile, I'm a Jew, I'm a, you know, I'm a Chinese, I'm a Frenchman, I'm African-American, or I'm German or something. Hey, watch what you're saying. Verse 11 is saying it's no longer neither, if you're in Christ. And the matter of circumcision and nor uncircumcision, and a barbarian and Scythian, bond, that is, free or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. The Bible says, who's the author and the finisher of the faith? Lord Jesus. The author? Yes. The finisher? Yes. He's the all in all. He completes us. You know, we looked at that passage that we are complete in Christ, chapter 2, verse 10. I just can't get over that. Hey, boy, the Lord's got to do a lot of work with me. I will, you know, but wait a minute. You are complete. It's a matter of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. And you are complete, verse 10, if you're a Christian, chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is or who is the head of all principality and power. Completeness. He's our all in all. He's our everything. I think that's quite interesting. I sometimes think that we become a little so heavenly minded that they're not much earthly good. You know, we say, boy, you need to get right with God. And vertical, we get right, you, God and you. Hammer on that. But there's also the horizon that needs to be looked at. Well, I don't know what you mean by that. Well, if somebody needs some help, we're supposed to try to help them. I thought that our job was just the gospel. Well, the Bible teaches that there are people that we ought to help. Give forth the gospel. Help the needy, the poor. Well, now we got a government that has all the social, Medicare, all that stuff. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. Don't get too wise. We have to stay within the Word of God. And horizontally, there are needs, and we can't overlook them if we can. If somebody is sick, hey, it's good to go visit them. And while you're visiting them, why don't you tell them about the great physician? Tell them how they can be healthy, well, spiritually. Pray that doctors will give wisdom and help them physically, but deal with them spiritually. You know, there's a great physician, and you can be healthy spiritually. Are you interested in that? If somebody needs food, and we've had people come asking for food here, and we give them some food, say, listen, I want to tell you something. Have you ever heard about the bread of life? Say, well, what do you mean, the bread of life? Jesus Christ is the bread of life. If you have him, you have completeness, spiritually speaking. And he satisfies. He's everything. See, you can break off in things area like that. If somebody is real weary, and you say, I'm just so weary of life, I feel like going out here and cutting my wrist. Well, see, you don't want to do that. Life is precious. There are people who are concerned for you. I'm concerned for you. But you know that you need to have peace. And to have the peace that passes understanding is through the Prince of Peace. Hey, that's telling people that Christ is everything and complete, and you need Christ. You just got to go one step further than your mentality. And just knowing your confession of faith, you got to go a little further than that. And I think that we sometimes forget about it. Here somebody says, hey, I could use a drink of water. Do you have any water? I say, yeah, sure. Come on, I'll give you a drink of water. And while you give them a drink of water, give it a name of Christ. You say, you know, I got to tell you about you. If you're thirsty, I know one that he's the living water. And that is Christ. And he satisfies. He satisfies your soul spiritually. Some people are very good at doing this. There's no reason why we can't, if we're complete, that we can't do this a little better. We can work on it. Pray that the Lord would help us to do that. If somebody's dying, sure, pray for them. And while they still have their being, start talking to them about, listen, there's life in Christ. Spiritual life. Do you have Christ? You want to live forever, be in Christ. He's our all in all. He's the only one. He's the only way. And that's what Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying to you. Put aside this idea. Well, I can't talk to him because he's not, I can't. They're not my culture. I'm not of their economic standard. I just, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know what the Lord will do. Drop a seed, and the Lord will use it by the Spirit of God. Give the gospel, and the Lord is often will take that and use it. I was listening to one of the old tapes with Ruby Wiebe when my wife was in the store. I put the cassette in, and he said, you know, we came from Russia. And he said it from this pulpit. I'm not giving you something you didn't hear before. He told about how that there was this Russian who was a communist. He was with the team, the Toronto seminary team was here. The little Chinese girl spoke the first time. And some of you might remember, I spoke the first time. He said, now this will be her first experience of telling about the Lord in her life. And she didn't know much English, but she did a terrific job. And he had asked her a question, and as a professor, he said, she didn't even get to answer my question yet, but she told how the Lord worked in her life. But he said, in communism, years ago, there was this man's task of breaking up and getting rid of house churches. You know, we're a house church. And he had this one church. I think Brother Wiebe said five times he broke up the church, arrested the people who were having their Bible study or prayer meeting, hauled them off to jail. As soon as they get out, they'd still meet somewhere else. He'd go and break them up. And he really got angry about it. Same old people. And this night he was determined that he was really going to do a job on him. And he had a big club. And when he went in, they were having prayer meeting. And there's one dear old lady. She was on her knees and they were in prayer. And he was just going to knock her in the head and just get it all over with. And he came up behind her and he was getting ready to... And someone grabbed a hold of his hand, or arm, his arm. He looked around to see who was resisting his thrust to hit this old lady on the head who was praying. No one was there. Weeby said this, Professor Weeby. He said, God used that to speak to that man and save him. Say, you know, you're complete in Christ. If you have an inferior complex, you know, just the way you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Talk about Jesus. He's all. He's complete. He satisfies. Be at it. Someday you're going to meet him face to face. Are you going to be ashamed? I was reading something that seems very simple, but it's rather profound. You know, throughout the day, any time of day, just stop. What are you thinking about? What is mostly your thoughts? You know, you got answered, don't answer. What's more foremost in your mind as you go around? Check yourself out. 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. What am I thinking about? You know, if Christ is our all in all, there are some people who don't think about Christ at all. Have no, as far as they're concerned, no God. Don't even think about it. Then there are some people that, well, sometimes, but not much. Sometimes I think about the Lord, but not much. Yep. You know, I just sometimes wonder, but we are what we think. It's one of those things. You take a man who is very wealthy. He's a millionaire, a billionaire. Now they talk billionaires. But you know, in reality, he's a poor man without Christ. He's not complete. Completeness is in Christ. He's not complete. And he needs to be made complete. Talk to a wealthy man. You know, Christ is the Christian's all in all. In him is complete satisfaction. You say, well, I don't know. I still have a problem with that verse 11. I don't think we're all equal. But if we're in Christ, we're equal. And the Lord has a great eraser. And he can erase away these cultural, radical bigotries and make us, as we are, one man in Christ. And when you see that, we also see that they're brothers. They're brothers. We're all brothers. But the worldly man, he has no hope. We sang about hope tonight. The worldly man has no hope. I tell you, friends, we had a family here yesterday, and they're building one of the biggest church buildings around. If you know where Rovendale is down to the exit by the 80, there's a new building being put up. Big thing. But you know, it's a cult. It's a Christian cult. They don't believe in the Trinity. It's just Jesus only. It's Pentecostal. Sad. Big numbers. New building. Wonderful, you'd say. Hey, listen. If that building doesn't magnify the Christ of the Bible, it's nothing. We have to have the completeness. It has to be the magnification of Christ and the triunity of God. I used to go to expositions, poultry expositions. My boss's son had fancy fowl, and I got tied up with the chickens and take them to Bloomsburg Fair, take them up to New York State and so forth, and have to clean them up and all that kind of stuff. Expositions. You know what? God says, I'm your all in all, and you're complete, and I want you to be an exposition for me. Not an exposition for the Democrats or the Republicans. Boy, what a religion that is. I was in that stuff. What a disappointment to your party. If you put all your stock in the party's philosophy, it's Christ. Well, I don't know. I think you're not thinking. Look at the verse. It isn't all this thing, whether it's what party or this party, this group or that party, but this is it. That what counts is at Christ, the completeness of Christ, being in Christ. We're to rally around the captain of our salvation. We're not to rally around Omega, Barack Obama, or McCain. I'm not to rally around him. I'm to rally around my captain. Didn't hear an amen. Well, it just shows. Sometimes we don't understand these things, I don't believe. I picked a hymn that I thought does a better job than me to explain it. You did? Yep, I picked a hymn that does a better job about this Christ is all than me trying to explain it up here. What is this hymn? Well, Jesus is all the world to me. And we're not going to be in a big hurry to sing it. We're going to take a little time. We can get in a hurry and sing it through in high gear, but we're not going to do that. Is this so? He is all the world to me? He's what? He's my life. He's my joy. He's my all. He's my strength. Well, I can read that, preacher. I know you can, but I can too, so just bear with me. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. So when I'm sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me. So, man, this is beautiful. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. He's my all in all. Jesus is all the world to me. He is. He's my friend in trial sore. I go to him. I go to him for blessings. And he gives them over and over. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest and grain. He's my friend. He's my all in all. He satisfies. Jesus all world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. He watched over that old lady praying on her knees, didn't he? Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, and I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. An eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. He's my all in all. Let's sing it together, will you? Yes, thanks, Bob. Now, we elders have decided that on Wednesday nights we would like to have the preachers be through at 8 o'clock. Because we're going to make a few little changes. So I'm a little early, but plan on fact that we're not going to be giving you an hour and a quarter of pulpit time, but we want to be through around 8 o'clock Wednesday nights and then have our prayer time is what we kind of like to, but it's not written in stone, but we'd like to do it that way. Perhaps you have a thought concerning the completeness or the satisfaction that is in Christ for believers. Perhaps something came to your mind or something you'd like to add or ask a question. Well then, I guess until another time, then we'll let it go at that. Some prayer requests. Now, that gentleman there in the picture there, right next to Rick, he is in Lebanon, Pennsylvania with the Jubilee Ministries, which is a rare thing. Usually when you're in prison, they like to put you in a social situation with social workers and put you in a halfway house where still kind of regimentated. We went to one in Harrisburg one time and still locked the doors and all that. But Jubilee Ministries is in Lebanon, and my granddaughter Rachel Patterson, she knows a man who is more or less in charge of it. And it kind of has a Mennonite background, but not altogether. And so I was wondering if you might pray for Adam. Adam Gamble, as he's down there. And he seemed to be really excited. I'm so excited for him. He needs prayer. And then Ken Knighton, I believe, was operated on today for an eye operation, cataract. Which eye, do you know? So you might want to pray for Ken Knighton. Then I have these letters, which I think that we just kind of keep them in mind. We had this matter of Kath Ashcroft and her broken wrist and the books that are passed out to all the Romanian churches in America, that God would use that. And then we have this matter of Joel Serapoli expecting in November to visit believers of two churches in Chattiskark. He said, please pray for us. And then he's also asking that he might have a stable mode of transportation. Those two requests. Then the Kemp family in Florida would desire to have a place where Christians can meet together, have a sound foundation, a fellowship. And then Floor with her friend Jenny and that man that is, you know, it's a funny thing. If you go to the bar room, it's a friendly kind of a place. It really is. I'm not giving a sales pitch, but the atmosphere is, come on, I'll give you a drink. How you doing? And so it can be addictive. And so Floor was asking us to pray for Jenny, who has a problem of drinking, not only at home but in bar rooms and hanging out with this Mike, and about her family and so forth. Perhaps you'd pray for Jenny and this man Mike. Now, who did I forget? I have Hannah down here because today's her birthday. We like to pray for people who have anniversaries and birthdays. Who else?
David Knight.
Yes, Ken's brother David. I haven't heard how he's doing this week, but would you pray for him? He's been here. And he's no better, the last I heard. They don't give him much hope. They're making arrangements for his departure. Who else?
I have a praise. Nathan's doing much better, but continue to pray for him and pray for Rick. He's feeling much better.
Yes. Rick's been off of work for 2 days. So, like the flu, maybe.
Yeah, probably some kind of flu.
Oh. Who else? What else? Cassie and Carrie. They get to be big girls, aren't they? They were little twins. Yes. Who else? All right.
Pretty hard to always be a nurse, isn't it?